The Salvation Army welcomes you to their Sunday morning worship program. We're confident that you'll be uplifted as Captain Spaulding of the Salvation Army presents today's program. Here's Captain Spaulding.
In June of 1859, a Frenchman named Charles Blondin attempted the impossible. He became the first man to cross a tightrope stretched a quarter of a mile over Niagara Falls. 160 feet above the air, he walked back and forth, each time with a different daring feat. Once he crossed it in a sack, once on stilts, once on a bicycle. Once he even carried a small stove and cooked an omelet while walking across. Each time the crowd would just erupt into applause. And the last time, he walked across blindfolded, carefully balancing a wheelbarrow. The crowd offered all their oohs and ahs, but when Blondin reached the other side, he turned and addressed the audience, asking them, "Who thinks I could do this same feat, but with a person in the wheelbarrow?" The crowd cheered louder than ever, yelling affirmations like, "You can do it! You're the best in the world! You can do anything!" "Great," he said. "Who would like to volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow?" Saying that you believe and actually stepping out on faith are two very different things. Often, as believers, we are great at talking the talk. We can recite the scripture verses and do the Bible studies and lead discussions in Sunday school and pray with people, and we are quick to talk, but too often we are slow to act. We don't apply the talk to our lives. We don't walk the talk. When I think about faith, I'm drawn to the Apostle Paul. He's such a mirror for who we often are in our own walks. One minute he's saying, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out on the boat and I'll walk on water with you." And the next, he's denying Christ three times. In one story, Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And a few chapters later, he's the rock on which the church would be built. He steps up. He messes up. He's broken sometimes and overzealous at others. But we see a change happen in Peter's life after he experiences the resurrected Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We see a new faith emerge, a new confidence, a new boldness. We're going to look this morning at the third chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 10. And it goes like this. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood to his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. We can learn a lot in this passage about what it means to be people of faith, people who have experienced the resurrected Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. This morning, let's hop in the wheelbarrow as we look at this story of faith. Peter and John were headed to the temple for prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was customary for them to do every day. The Jews would, in fact, gather for prayer three times each day, at 9 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and then again at sunset. So the place where this man was carried, this gate called Beautiful, was a pretty primo spot to make a living. And what he would know, it says that he had been crippled from birth. Acts 4:22 tells us that he was over 40 years old, so he had been around. He knew that there were three times every day where the temple courts would be just absolutely flooded with people. And not just people, Jewish people. And not just Jewish people, but pious Jewish people. Jewish people who were dutifully fulfilling their religious obligations. These people would have money on hand. It was a typical practice to have money for the temple treasury or to purchase sacrifices. And it was considered noble to give to the poor. So the getting was good at the gate called Beautiful. in a larger city, and sometimes even here, we see people like this, don't we? People who would be described as beggars. Sometimes we see them on the off-ramps with cardboard signs. And I wonder if they figure out, like this man did, what times of day have the most traffic or when people are the most generous, maybe like around 12:30 on a Sunday afternoon. There are others who we see in parking lots, those who are more aggressive and they come right up to you. Friends of mine who visited other countries have told us how the poor and needy in those towns will look specifically for tourists and they will surround them, tugging at their sleeves and pulling at their clothes. In America, it's estimated that panhandlers will collect, on average, between $20 and $50 a day. And the best, most savvy ones can get up to $300 per day. People learn what works. People learn how to get by. Sometimes, we are the beggar in this story. We learn the best way to just get by, to deal with our life circumstances. It may not be the life we've always dreamed of. Whoever dreams of becoming a beggar? But we survive, we make it, we scrape by. But abundant life is more than just scraping by. We might think we know exactly what we need to make ends meet or get through the day, but God has more for us. This man, this beggar, had found the perfect spot, but God had more. I don't know what it is that's crippling you this morning. Finances, circumstances, sin. Or maybe like this man, this is just how it's always been for you. I know many of you are crying out for something this morning, but know that God has even more for you. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. So Peter and John are walking up to the temple gates when they see this beggar who asks them for money. And just a few moments later, a man's life is changed forever. I think this account gives a great example of how we as believing people are to treat people who are needy. People, whether that need is defined by physical or emotional or spiritual circumstances, whatever it is, how it is that we are to treat them. First of all, notice where the beggar was stationed, beside the temple gates, not in the temple, outside it. We know that it is so important for us to take care of one another in the church. It's part of our role as a family. But often the people who need us most are outside of those walls. They are out there. They are hungry and they are broken and they don't even know that life could be better. As people of faith, we have to get out of the church. We have to reach the people who will never come here on their own. Next, it tells us that Peter and John looked at the man intently. They looked at him. I don't know about you, but if I want to avoid something or someone, you know what I do? I avert my eyes. I don't look. How many of us, when we see someone on the side of the road, we busy ourselves with our cell phones or changing the radio station or whatever so we don't have to look at them? Or when we see a person in our church or school or workplace who we know is hurting and we don't know what to say to them, we make sure there's something for us to do on the other side of the room. We avoid eye contact, out of sight, out of mind. What would happen if we opened our eyes? Who do we pass every day on our way to work? Who is sitting next to us on the bus? Who is serving us in the restaurant? Mother Teresa, who spent her life serving the poor in Calcutta, is quoted as saying, "Calcuttas are everywhere if we only have eyes to see." There are people in need all around us. Lastly, Peter and John showed us that money is not the only way to reach people or to help them. Now understand, I'm not suggesting that you go to someone who's starving and say, "Jesus loves you, good luck with your next meal." In fact, we are warned specifically against that in the book of James. Chapter 2, 14 through 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. You may not have the key to solve everyone's problem. You may not have the right words to help someone who's struggling with their marriage. You may not have the perfect advice for someone who's at their wit's end with their teenager. You may not have the solution to a friend's financial burden. You may not have any spare change. But you've got something. You have friendship or a listening ear. You have some homemade bread or a handful of flowers, you would be surprised what a difference a simple act can make, even just your touch. I read recently about a group of massage therapists in Philadelphia who opened their shop early in the morning to give free foot massages to prostitutes. I would venture to guess that you might have one word in your mind right now, maybe something like gross. But as I read on, I started to understand that though these women were making very desperate choices about how to make a living, this group wanted them to know what it felt like to be touched with loving hands, not hands that only wanted what they could get from them. The beggar may have been able to survive with what he was handed at the gate called Beautiful, but why had no one in 40 years given him more than spare change? It says later in the story that the man was well known, and once he was healed, many people recognized him as the man who had been sitting there for years. Why had no one done more for this man? Why was he still being carried there day after day after day to beg? Sometimes in this story, we're all the others, the ones who look away, who avert our eyes, and do little if nothing because we really just don't think we have a lot to give. But we do. Silver and gold we may not have, but we have Jesus, and we can be the change that someone so desperately needs in their life. Let's look at verse 5. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. This is my favorite part of the story. This is walking the talk. Peter, you know, O ye of little faith, Peter, tells the man to get up and walk. What a bold declaration of faith. I think I can make a declaration of that, but I might say it and then kind of stand and wait and see what happens. There was no watch and see in this case. He said it and he believed it. He reached down and pulled the man up before he was even healed. It wasn't until he helped him up that his feet and ankles were strengthened. I wonder if Peter gave any thought to how he would recover if Jesus didn't come through. How stupid he would have looked if the man had just crumpled back to the ground. I mean, Peter knows about looking stupid. So brave to step out of the boat, and what a fool to sink because he didn't have the faith. But now, what faith, what trust to just believe. What would it be like to live a life with that kind of faith, knowing that no matter what, you were in the Father's hands? What if the fear of failing or looking foolish was gone? What if we just trusted? How might God use you? How might He use me? What if this is who we could be in the story? Father, we confess that there are times when we just don't trust you. We want to know how you're going to work, when, and why. We want the plan laid out for us before we're ready to take a step. We are so cautious. We are so afraid. Strengthen and develop our faith. Make us brave. Give us boldness. In verse 8, it says, he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went in the temple with them. Kind of reminds me of the old open airs we used to have in the Salvation Army, where people would come to the big bass drum and meet their Savior, and then follow the band back to the core for the Salvation meeting. Verse 9 says, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. When a crippled man is healed, when a blind man sees, when brokenness is repaired and the dead brought back to life, people take notice. Talk about a flip-flop. Consider who you are in this story this morning. Are you the beggar, lame and broken, getting by but not really living? Are you ready to seek God and trust Him to do more in your life than you could ever imagine? Are you the others who just ignore those in need because you don't know how to help, when really you may be exactly what they need? Pray this morning that God would show you where you might make an impact for the kingdom. Or are you Peter, going out in faith with your eyes wide open, looking for opportunities to show the world who God is, stretching your faith, jumping in, getting in the wheelbarrow? Today, friends, let's give legs to our faith and walk the talk.
Thank you for listening to the Salvation Army Sunday Morning Worship Program. The Salvation Army invites you to visit them for church services. Sunday school starts at 9:45, and Sunday morning worship is at 11 a.m. Kids Club is each Wednesday afternoon at 3:45 p.m., and the Salvation Army will gladly pick up and drive home participating children. For more information and to arrange for your child to be picked up, please call 424-5708. The Salvation Army works every day to make life better for countless people in our community. Your tax-deductible donations help them provide nutritious meals to older adults and families, help people overcome addictions, provides emergency assistance, and so much more. The Salvation Army Thrift Store offers great bargains on quality clothing, furniture, appliances, electronics, and more. And remember, you're invited to join them for worship. The Salvation Army, Highway 201 North in Mountain Home.